anointed doesn't mean being good. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
That's the foghorn voice of Steve Brown. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open to 1 and 2 Samuel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. As I suggested eons ago when we started 1 and 2 Samuel, I'm taking the time to spend time with each of the main characters in these two books, one being Saul, Samuel, the last judge, the next being Saul, the first king, and the next being David, the greatest of the kings. And we've looked at Samuel and Saul, and now we're looking at David. And we're looking at a couple of incidents in the lives of these great leaders of God's people. And that's what 2 Samuel is about. And it's my hope that you'll go read the entire book, because this is really, you know, my proclivity is just to stop and spend the next year looking at these two books. But if I do that, I'll never finish this Old Testament survey. So we're going to stay with it, and I want to give you some handles for each of the books of the Old Testament. Now, if you were listening yesterday, and some of you weren't, and I know your names, if you were listening yesterday, we were looking at the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read those verses again, because it's a fairly long passage, but it's the story of how Saul is out to kill David out of jealousy and some other things. And David's men get Saul cornered in a cave and want to kill him. And David forbids that, and he says the reason you can't do that is because Saul is the Lord's anointed. And then there is one of the most moving passages in all of these books where David looks upon his father figure, the man that he loved, the man who had betrayed him, the man who's trying to kill him, and bows down before him and said, I want you to know that I have in my hand a corner of your robe that I cut off with my sword while you were sleeping. I could have killed you. I could have taken you out right then, and I didn't do it. And I didn't do it because you're the Lord's anointed. And I would suggest something from this, that being anointed doesn't necessarily mean being good. Now, unless you are upset with me, and some of you guys get upset with me, I am not suggesting that if you are a leader of God's people, you can go out and sin. It doesn't make any difference. But I also think that one's purity isn't necessarily the measurement of God's anointing. Our Roman Catholic friends have a great principle that they teach about the sacrament. They say the efficacy of the sacrament is not dependent on the purity of the priest. Those of us who are Protestants have a similar kind of belief system, and that is the efficacy of the word is not dependent on the purity of the preacher. Now, that's not a brief for not being pure. I believe that if you belong to Christ, you want to be better than you are. I believe that if God's Spirit is in you, He's working in you, and something is happening to change your life. I believe that supernatural outworking of God's Spirit really makes a difference. I had lunch with a dear friend of mine, Carl Wilson, at the seminary just recently, and he was saying, Steve, I support what you teach about grace, but tell people about the Holy Spirit and tell them about changed lives, and I believe in that. But I want you to know, you've got to be careful, because if God only uses good people, he isn't going to be able to do much through any people. And that's a fact. At any rate, here we find Saul, a disobedient servant, one of the worst, who is still called by David God's anointed. I was in a church not too long ago where the pastor is a godly man, not perfect, but godly. One of the members came to me and really, I mean, said stuff about the pastor that you just wouldn't believe. And I said to him, are you crazy? This is God's man. You keep doing this, you're going to be in some kind of trouble. I was told by another person that some of the leadership in the church had laughed at the pastor and made fun of him before the members of the church, and that really scared me. Not for the pastor's sake. God was protecting him. It's for those that were doing it. 1 Chronicles 16:22, touch not the Lord's anointed. When I was a pastor, I used to tell this story every year at least once. Jonathan Edwards, when they kicked him out of his church, I said, well, I'm not beneath having a hidden agenda. But two guys were responsible for kicking Jonathan Edwards out of his church, and he refused to retaliate or do anything. He just left because he knew God was going to get him. One went insane and one committed suicide. Boy, it was interesting how quiet my congregation got when I told them the story. But let me take this and apply it beyond just leadership. As a matter of fact, we're a kingdom of priests. As a matter of fact, that if you are a Christian, you are anointed of God also. And that's an important thing to remember. Behind you is the king. When people mess with you, they mess with him. When people mess with you, they mess with him. We spend so much of our time as Christians trying to defend ourselves and tell the world that we're smart and get political. We don't have to do that. You know why we don't have to do that? Because we belong to him. Oswald Smith, who was a friend of an acquaintance of mine, the founder of People's Church in Toronto, where we go almost every year. I love that church. I love preaching in that church. And his son was a friend of mine. But at any rate, Oswald Smith used to refuse to respond to criticism. You know why? Because he knew that church, the people of the church, and he were all anointed of God, a kingdom of priests, and that God's business was the business of defense. Bill Glass's son went through a difficult time when he was little and at school with some of the people that were picking on him. Bill took him into the bathroom where there was this long mirror, and he said, "Son, what do you see?" He said, "Well, I see me." And Bill said, No. I want you to repeat after me. I see a son of God, a servant of the king, and a warrior of God." And he said, "Repeat it after me." And he did. He said, "Son, what else do you see?" He said, "Well, Daddy, I see you standing behind me." He said, "Repeat after me. I am the son of a king, a warrior of God, and my father stands behind me." Try to remember that. Your God's anointed. You don't have to defend yourself. That's God's business. You just do what he says. You think about that. Amen. Hey, we have a little bit of time, and I generally on Wednesday take some time to answer some questions. We do love to get your questions. You got to write them down and send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us with your regular mailing address if you want a response, steve@keylife.org. And you'll always get a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. Some of you guys are still trying to do that. You have to write them down. And we get thousands of these, and we try to respond to everybody. So, and the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Hey, by the way, check out our website. It's keylife.org, and you can learn a lot of good stuff about Key Life. There's a lot of ministry stuff there. You can hear this broadcast and the previous 30. If you haven't checked it recently, you ought to check it out, keylife.org. And one other thing, sure would appreciate your prayers this evening in our hometown. Now, we're going to be in Cincinnati. We're going to be in a number of places in California and some other places this year. They call it an evening with Steve. It's really a radio rally. We have a great time. But we're doing one in our hometown, and it's this evening, Friday. I'm sorry. It's Friday the 23rd. Would appreciate your prayers for that. It's at the Northland Community Church. All right, enough. Let's get to some of these questions. This is from Arkansas. How long did it take you to accept the sovereignty of God over your life? I'm still working at it, man. I mean, I don't think I've got this authority problem that is so awful that I just can't tell you. And that's why a lot of people don't believe in God, because they know if there's a God, then he's in charge and they aren't. And I understand that. I mean, I want to be in charge. One of the prayers in the liturgy that I pray right now is, "Father, forgive me for seeking autonomy and control independent and apart from you." and I'm better than I was. And I'm learning. I don't get opposed. I'm learning to trust God. I'm learning to walk in His ways, and that He knows best about everything. But I want you to know that's a lifelong struggle, because it refers to the very focus sin of everybody's life. Everything else is small stuff compared to the pride that we have, the autonomy we want when we want to be God and we don't want Him to be God. So, friend in Arkansas, I'm better, and I'm accepting it more than I used to, but it's a struggle, and it will be, because we really do want to be in charge. This is from Arkansas, too. What do you do when you feel abandoned by God? I'll tell you what's really important when you feel that way, and everybody does sometimes. Have you ever gone through, do you talk to people that say, when I go through really hard times, I feel real peace because God comforts me? You know, that's not so true with me. When I go through really bad stuff, my heart is such a panic that I don't sense hardly any peace. Now, looking back, I see God's hand and that I was not abandoned. But generally, there's really a hard time. Man, God seems to have gone away on vacation somewhere. So what I do when I feel abandoned by God, and all of us do on occasion, let me tell you something. Remember the truth. I will not leave you bereft, Jesus said. I will come to you. He said, I'll send you the Comforter. Remember that whatever you feel about being abandoned by God is a lie. It's from the pit of hell. It smells like smoke. And so take the truth of the Bible and apply it to your life and say, no matter what it feels like, no matter how much it hurts, I know what the truth is, and the truth is this. And so affirm the truth. Tell Satan the truth. Tell your friends the truth, and keep walking until the light shines again, and it will. Edmund used to say, and it's one of my favorite quotes, never doubt in the dark what God taught you in the light. Okay. Staff person, this says, this is from an 8-year-old in Pennsylvania. If there was no sin in heaven, then how come Satan dropped down from heaven into hell? Well, that's why he dropped out, because he was sinning, and there's not supposed to be sin in heaven. And you got to remember that God was involved in that. If you want to get some details on it happening, though not details on why it happened, you can look at Luke 10:18, where Jesus refers to it, and then Isaiah 14 also refers to it too. But God gave Satan some freedom, and he messed it up, and he said, it's time for them to go. Time for me to go too. Hey, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And oh yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.